This is City Lights. I'm Lois Reitz. It's great to be with you. My guest today is Eric Einhorn. He's the general and artistic director of On-Site Opera, a New York City-based company specializing in on-site immersive opera performances. Eric is in town to direct a co-production with the Atlanta Opera of an early Mozart work, The Secret Gardener. Eric Einhorn, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Mozart was all of 18 years old when he wrote The Secret Gardener. How, if at all, is his youth revealed in this piece?
Well, it's fascinating to look at, especially if we think about what we were all doing at 18 years old. What it does is it shows definitely a Mozart in progress. He's straddling the late Baroque, early classical style, and coming into his own in terms of his own dramatic writing. There is so much that's in the piece that you can look forward to in Marriage of Figaro and Don Giovanni that is a little unformed, a little jagged.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely see where he goes. But that said, he's still an 18-year-old genius, and the music that he writes is, there's still some sublime stuff in it.
He had not yet collaborated with Lorenzo da Ponte, who wrote the librettos, who wrote the books for some of his greatest operas. If it were a Broadway musical, you'd say The Secret Gardener, this opera had book trouble.
Indeed.
What didn't work?
Well, it's a sprawling work. Uncut, it's about 3.5 hours of triple love triangles and subplots. And in the middle of the opera, the two main characters lose their minds and believe themselves to be Greek gods.
Other than that, it worked?
It's streamlined completely. and so in approaching it for this production, we knew we wanted to get it down from the 3.5 hours. So we really took a sharp pair of scissors to it. And you know an opera is a little long when you can cut an entire act and still have a viable story. So we excised most, if not all, of Act Two, leaving bits and pieces of Acts One and Three to put together for this 90-minute presentation.
And Kelly Rourke, was the woman charged with adapting the script. So going from almost 4 hours to 90 minutes, in addition to Act Two, which was mostly that dream sequence you
right.
talked about, was there anything else left on the cutting room floor?
There were, of course, some beautiful arias and a few subplots that would have been nice to include, but in order to get some of those things, they require two or three arias to make sense, so we had to make some choices.
Yeah. Well, why perform this opera in English instead of the original Italian?
Well, for us, for On-Site Opera, there was a practical consideration to begin with that we performed it in a space called the West Side Community Garden on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. It's this beautiful garden space that's set up in the round. And for an attempt to make it as engaging as possible for audiences, without them having to look up at super titles, plus we were doing it in daylight for the most part. So how to project the titles in daylight, how to project it in the round, it became a practical and logistical consideration. And we've had success with translating into English for certain productions in the past. So we ended up going that way.
This was just last week.
It was. Feels like years ago already.
Well, were you familiar with the Atlanta Botanical Garden before arriving here this week?
I was, but only in context of this production. I've visited Atlanta a few times to scope out various sites. And then finally, when we all settled on the Botanical Garden, then I got to know it intimately.
It sounds like the space in New York was ideal when you consider a few technical questions like amplification.
Right.
What challenges does the Atlanta Botanical Garden present?
every space is different and new and exciting to work in. I think the botanical gardens in Atlanta give us the challenges of simply fitting this production into a different kind of space. It was in the Round in New York. It's a bit more sort of proscenium style, as if you were sitting in a theater. It's set up that way. That said, there's still going to be a lot of immersion in and among the audience. That's sort of a trademark of what we do, surrounding the audience with the show, and just figuring out how to take this show and tell this story in a new place.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Eric Einhorn. He's directing an Atlanta Opera co-production of Mozart's early work, The Secret Gardener, at the Atlanta Botanical Garden this weekend. We'll be back after a short break.
Support for WABE comes from Margaret Mitchell House, presenting an evening with author Richard Russo on May 23rd at 7 p.m. as he discusses his book, Trajectory. Tickets and full author program series lineup available online at AtlantaHistoryCenter.com.
This is City Lights. Our guest today is Eric Einhorn. He's directing an Atlanta Opera co-production of The Secret Gardener by Mozart. Between last weekend's performances in New York City and this weekend's coming performances at the Atlanta Botanical Garden, have you had to adapt the libretto for the performance here in Atlanta?
We've not had to. That we conceived it with both venues in mind.
So this is basically pack up this opera and take it to the next site, at least for these two companies.
At least for these two companies, yes. We designed the entire production to fit equally well in both spaces.
Eric, take us back a bit, if you would, to the founding of On-site opera and its reason for being.
Sure. So it was 2012, and as a freelance director, I was looking for a different kind of opportunity. I had been working regionally in various opera companies, and I was on the directing staff of the Metropolitan Opera in New York, where I still am, but looking for just something else, as a different way to express myself as an artist. And I ended up starting a conversation with a friend of mine named Jessica Kiger, who actually now works at the Atlanta Opera. And the two of us set out to create this crazy little site-specific opera company. We had no idea if it would work. We had no idea if anybody would like it. But we found that the site-specific production model, the immersive production model, had a lot to offer, both from an artistic point of view and as a from a financial point of view. There were economic benefits to it, that costs were low and the artistic reward was high. And so we set out. Our first show was a 12-minute opera for kids at the Bronx Zoo, and it was a huge success. Surprise to all of us, the New York Times showed up, gave it this review that only my mother could have written, and we were off and running.
Well, what kind of opera did you present at the zoo?
It was called The Tale of the Silly Baby Mouse. It was by Shostakovich.
Yes.
He wrote it originally for a cartoon, and so the piece was available sort of as a concert piece. So we pared it down, and we worked with a great puppet workshop called The Puppet Kitchen in New York. I know puppetry and Atlanta have strong connections,
yes.
So this was a great partnership, and it really started us off well.
And then you moved on to the Cotton Club?
We did, partially because the feedback after the zoo show was, oh, it's so great you started an opera for kids, an opera company for kids. And that wasn't our intention. Our intention was to produce all kinds of work, so we focused on a more adult subject matter, and for that was this great rare gem of Gershwin's called Blue Monday that he wrote 10 or 13 years before Porgy and Bess. So you see, much like actually Secret Gardener to the rest of the mature Mozart's output, Blue Monday to Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, there's a lot of similarities, and you see what will come later in a very kind of embryonic form.
I think Maren Alsop was among the earliest to perform
That's correct, yes.
In its entirety. Mm-hmm. And she recorded it,
she did. It's a great recording, too.
So how did you and Tomer then connect? I know that you're both on the Met directing board. Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it?
The directing staff.
The directing staff, which is not too shabby honor to have.
Beats working for a living. Sure does.
But you go back even farther, don't you?
Yeah, several years before we were both at the Met, both of us were at a program called the International Vocal Arts Institute out of Tel Aviv in Israel. And I was a young singer trying to find myself as a singer. And eventually I started dabbling directing while we were there. Tomer joined the program first as a stage manager. And so we crossed paths a little bit. And then when we were both at the Met, there was that moment of, hey, don't I know you from Israel? Great to meet you. And we became stronger, fast friends.
And so when, as artistic director of Atlanta Opera, Tomer was developing this Discovery series, you, of course, came to mind immediately for the site-specific performance of The Secret Gardener. Mm-hmm. But, in fact, you didn't think it really was about a garden.
Right. So when Tomer reached out to me about this, we had been talking about a collaboration for a while, and one day I get a call from him. He said, I want to do Mozart's Secret Gardener in a garden, period. That was the end of it. It's okay. That's great. I'd love to, of course, I want to work with you. I want to make this partnership happen. Let me go. I don't know anything about the piece, so let me go and look into it. And as I dove into it, I realized that it actually, in its uncut form, has very little to do with the garden. And so I went back to Tomer and I said, well, you know, this piece doesn't have anything to do with the garden per se, but how about these four pieces? How about any of these? Nope. He stuck to his guns. He wanted to do Mozart in a garden. And I said, okay, let me go back and continue to chip away at this. And I'm so glad that he was persistent because it turned out that we found a really great newly adapted piece out of this opera.
Well, if Mozart and Mozart opera alone weren't enough, to think of the exquisite setting of a garden just seems
beautiful.
Like the perfect marriage. And it's not Marriage of Figaro, it is The Secret Gardener. Eric Einhorn, General and Artistic Director of On-Site Opera, is directing the Atlanta Opera co-production of Mozart's The Secret Gardener this weekend at the Atlanta Botanical Garden. Ticketed seats are sold out, but the Botanical Garden visitors are invited to watch and listen from anywhere in the new Skyline Garden. We'll have more information online as soon as possible at wabe.org/citylights. Eric Einhorn, this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.